Thank y'all for helping this morning. We've been walking through Advent over the last several weeks as we prepare for Christmas happening this Wednesday and for our Christmas Eve service, especially this Tuesday evening. And we'll look at the fifth and final element of the Advent, and that is Christ. But we've talked about hope, we've talked about joy, we've talked about love, and you probably can figure out for where we are already this morning for that of which we've sang and for what our responsive reading was, that this morning we're going to be on peace. I was fascinated as I was just reading along with the video a minute ago. Isn't it amazing at how little it takes to steal our peace? I don't remember if it was burned cookies or burned pie or cake or what it was. But isn't it amazing? I thought of that how little it takes sometimes to steal our peace. Isn't it amazing how our peace can go away just when somebody doesn't answer the phone? Whether you're frustrated that they don't answer it, or after two or three times you're fearful that they haven't answered it. It's amazing how fast our peace can be stolen. And just reading through that video, it's interesting when I think back over history. Not distant history, but recent history. In 1982, there was a guy named Scott Fallman. He was a computer scientist at Carnegie Mellon, and he developed this thing called emojis. And he put those in our text. Do we have those? Did we get it worked out? Perfect. Great. Let's go ahead and throw those first ones up there from the outline this morning. Maybe they're coming. They're coming. I'm telling you, you cannot appreciate. I told you a minute ago, I think the devil's tried to steal my joy all morning. I will tell you this. If you're praying for me patience, stop. I'm getting better, but I need a break. When we see the emojis, is that the first one? Okay, first one. If you see that on your phone, what do you know? It's sadness. We know that's sadness, something they're not happy about. What's the next one? What about that one? We know we're happy. We get a colon and a little parenthesis. How about this next one I thought was interesting? Just a wink. Hey, making a funny or something interesting. When he came up with those in 1982, that was something that he started working through. And then in 1998, there was a guy in Japan. He worked for a mobile phone company. His name was Shigetaka Kurita. And it was interesting, but if you remember when text messaging first came out, you only had so many characters that you could use. And so he started working on a way so that you could communicate a message quickly, but yet not have to use all of your characters. And so he came up with this idea that we really think of as emojis today. And the beginning of emoji, E in Japanese, is picture. And emoji in Japanese is letters. And so it's interesting that really what emoji means is letters and pictures. All that we get them all together. And we know some of those. Do we have those? Are we ready for these, Mr. John, back there? When we go from the old school ones that the first guy created to the ones that we know now, hey, this is the one we know. Hey, if something's good, we just send a little smiley face, and we know that that means they're okay or they like it or whatever the case may be. For the second one, hey, what is that one? We all know that that's something that says, hey, they are crying tears. They're laughing so hard. Look at this next one. I think it's interesting. Thumbs up. Hey, I'm good with that, whatever you decided. We all kind of know what these are. Isn't it amazing that it hadn't been that long ago that emojis didn't exist? Now, when we look at these next few, I know that's the one most of you often think of when you think of your pastor. But that's really about an angel. All right, how about this one? How many of us use this one very often? A lot of us use that one. I get that one pretty regular. Things we're praying for you about this or that. And I think we have one more. What about this one? Hey, we know it as peace. Really, even though we can all identify this signal, we can identify this emoji, but the fact is it's something that all of us struggle with. It's amazing that all of us desire peace, but it's amazing how fast and how little it takes to destroy our peace. And so I want to share some things with you this morning. If you got your Bible, open them up to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. All of us would agree, as we have looked over the other characteristics or the other aspects of Advent with hope and joy and love, certainly those are all missing in our culture. But peace is something that's not only missing in our culture, but I believe it's missing in our individual lives. And I think that's true for Christ followers and non-Christ followers alike. I think peace is something that each one of us struggle with. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 19. It says, love must be without hypocrisy. Detest evil and cling to what is good. Show family affection to one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lack diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in affliction, and be persistent in prayer. Share with the saints in their needs and pursue hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be in agreement with one another. Do not be proud. Instead, associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own estimation and do not repay anyone evil for evil. Try to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes, and if possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for His wrath, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay, says the Lord. You know, the interesting thing about peace is sometimes we can mess up our own peace, and sometimes other people mess up our peace. Sometimes it's our spouse, sometimes it's our parents, sometimes it's our children, sometimes it's people we know, sometimes it's people we don't know, and like I said, sometimes it's just us. This has been a wild and crazy week for me. You know this for me, I'm a time guy. I gotta tell you, I think the devil has been working on me about peace all week long. I wake up on Monday morning, and I'm late getting to the church. And I'm not here very long until I realize I've forgotten something. By the way, on Monday afternoon, I came up to give blood. I told you I was going to give blood. I know there were a number of you that did. They had a great day. Thanks for doing that. But when I went through and did all my stuff, and I'm a little anxious about that, I told you I don't like that stuff. I went through the process, and they told me I couldn't give blood because I had been to the wrong country. Having been out of the country, I couldn't give blood. So then I was frustrated because I had challenged you to give, and then I couldn't give. So I show up on Monday, and I'm late for a couple of things. And when I get here, and then I sit down, and I start checking emails. I've been here since about, 7 o'clock, 7:30, something like that. Had some things I was trying to work on and get some things done. And I sit down finally about 8:15 and look through emails real fast. And I was supposed to read to the children at the elementary school at 8:30. But it's about 8:20. Now, we were supposed to meet at 8, mind you. So I jumped in the car and I took off down to the Board of Education to go in where I could get my information and my book. And as fate would have it, I'm meeting a whole bunch of Baptists coming out the door. And they're all commenting to me about being late. Now, she could show up today, preacher. I finally make it through all of that, and I get around and finish the day and get to Tuesday morning. I come up early. I got a couple things I need to get done before everybody gets here. And so I've been here about an hour. And about 8:15, I get a text from Ron. And he says, are you coming to breakfast? Yeah, I'll be right there. It's just been like that for me all week. Does it work for you like that? I wish I was smart enough to figure out when I'm preaching on a particular topic, I need to be double aware on that particular topic. But peace is something that works on all of us. The scriptures say, as best you can, live at peace with everyone. Wow, that's pretty tough to do. You know, sometimes you're difficult. Sometimes I'm difficult. Sometimes we're just difficult, and we're hard to live with. But the scriptures say, as best as it depends on you, as much as you can make it possible, live at peace with everyone. That's a pretty tall order. So I thought real fast we'd look at it this morning in five different places. You don't have to turn to them. I'll have them available for you. But the first thing that I would say about peace is the place of peace. It's significant, each one of these aspects of peace, to help us live at peace with everyone as best as we can. We got to understand the place of peace. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." I don't know about you, but I find for me, when I got turmoil going on in life and I feel like the walls are caving in on me and the sky's falling and crunching me down, most of the time it's because I'm concentrated on the walls and on the sky. But if I'll concentrate on the Lord and the promises that He gives, it just seems to make everything run a little smoother, even if I do feel like I'm getting squeezed in. I didn't tell you this, but just thinking in terms of my week, you ever wake up and immediately you think, ooh, you forgot something? That's how my week started out. Because you see, when the ladies were here for us to give blood, I told them I would on Monday evening come back and lock everything up, check all the lights, make sure everything was good. The next time I thought about it was Tuesday morning. When I woke up about 7 o'clock Tuesday morning, I would bet I was not awake 30 seconds before I thought, oh no. And the really bad part was Christy and I went out with some of our friends on Monday night and had dinner, and we came back up and stood in the parking lot right out there of the church for about 20 minutes, just talk, visit, carry on. I stood right there and forgot to come lock everything up. It's just been that kind of week. You will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It's key that we remember the things of the Lord. It's your mind that goes crazy when you can't find something. Are you one of those people when you start looking, the longer you look, the more frustrated you get? It's your mind that goes crazy when you get a bad report and fear just takes over and it sets in. It's our mind that goes crazy when the phone doesn't ring and we begin to worry because somebody was supposed to call us and they haven't. Maybe it's about a job, maybe it's about plans for the holidays or whatever the case may be. But isn't it interesting that our mind will go crazy with worry when the phone doesn't ring, but our mind will also go crazy when the phone does ring because of the information we get on the other end, sometimes just the stress of it. But the scripture says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Do you let your mind wander, or do you keep your mind focused? I want you to know this. Peace is not the absence of stress. Peace is the presence of a Savior. Not only the place of peace, but the possibility of peace. John chapter 16, verse 31 to 33 says, Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own house and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me." Look at this. It says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." The possibility of peace certainly exists for each one of us because Christ has conquered the world. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter how bad things get in your life. Can I tell you this? Jesus makes things better if you'll focus in on Him and the promises and your future. You see, we can have peace in our life. That includes peace with everyone, including ourselves. But we can also have peace with our life. You need to know this. Peace with others is not possible without peace within. Some of us really struggle with peace out here, and the reason we do is because we don't have peace in here. You got to have peace in here first. Then you can have peace with others. Some of us are never at peace with ourselves because we're always worried, we're always stressed, we're always frustrated, we're always concerned, as opposed to just trusting in the plans that the Lord has for us. Romans 12, I read to you a minute ago, it said, as much as it is possible with you, live at peace with all men. In Matthew chapter 5, we saw on the video a little bit ago, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I think we need peace in ourselves, and we need peace without ourselves, outside with others. The place of peace and the possibility of peace. And then third, the Prince of Peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace in every way. The Lord be with all of you. When we think about the Prince of Peace, we all know the verse out of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? For some of you today, you don't have peace. And the reason is you don't have peace within and you don't have peace without, because the first peace must come with God. You got to have peace vertically before you can have peace horizontally. And the fact is, that's the reason that we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus came so that we might be reunited with God and have peace in him and through him and with him and because of him. But so many times we miss out on the whole idea of peace because we think it's something for us to be working, but you got to get the foundation right first. For some of you, you got turmoil in your life and you live with turmoil in your life. Because at some point in life, you prayed a prayer. And you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. But the fact is, you didn't make him the Lord of your life. You got some fire insurance along the way, and you feel pretty comfortable that if Jesus came back, you'd go to heaven. I got to be honest with you. I don't know if you will or if you won't. Not my job. But I would tell you this, some of us, I believe, live in a world of turmoil based off of a little prayer that we prayed when we were 8, and we think we're in good relationship with the Lord based off of that one little prayer, and yet to some extent, we've lived in disobedience since that time. You see, I believe if Jesus is really the Lord of our lives will be different. I believe we will have hope. I believe we will have joy. I believe we will have love. And when we don't have those things in certain instances, we would still be people of peace. But you got to have that right relationship with the Lord. And I want you to know this. It's not based off of the fact that you prayed some prayer at Falls Creek or Vacation Bible School or somewhere else. The Bible doesn't say pray a prayer to be saved. The Bible says surrender your life. Get yourself off the throne and let Jesus be on the throne. The Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. But also Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The present of peace, I think, is significant to us. In John chapter 14, verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and your heart must not be troubled or fearful. I want you to know where peace comes from is from the Lord. Without him, you can't have peace. It is a gift of God to give us peace. Some of us don't have peace because, as the scriptures say, you have not because you ask not. You're working all the time trying to straighten out all the things that you have going on in life. You got issues happening all the time, whether it's finances or whether it's relationships or whether it's at job or whether it's at school or whether it's in athletics or whatever the case may be. You got strife all the time, and we've never stopped to consider the fact that to ask the Lord to give us peace. And the scriptures say we have not because we ask not. He says, my peace I give to you. When we think about those highways of peace, how does God give the peace to us? How does he transpose that peace to us? Number one, through the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of God, he gives us peace. Is God in control of your life? How much peace do you have in the midst of turmoil? How much peace do you have when you're going through those storms of life? The scriptures we read just a minute ago in John chapter 16, you will have suffering. I want you to know this. If you suffer in life, that means you're normal. If you have sufferings in life, that means you're alive. It's just part of life. But I do believe with all my heart, even in the midst of that suffering, you can have peace. That's the life, I got to be honest with you, I lead. Now, I'm not saying I never worry. I'm not saying I never get stressed or never get frustrated about something. But I got to tell you, I trust the Lord. And I trust that ultimately God's plans are going to work. And in that, it gives me great peace. Do you trust Him that much? Do you trust Him that much with your life? And I know we all trust Him with each other's lives. But do you trust Him that much with your life? I think that highway of peace that God gives to us comes through the Spirit of God, but I think it comes also through the Son of God, through Jesus. Not only that He'd be the Lord of our life, but the fact that He came to be Emmanuel, God with us. We talk about it so often, sometimes it's like second hat to us, maybe second nature, we don't give it a lot of thought, but the fact is, stop and think about the fact that Jesus left where He was in heaven as the ruler on the throne and came to be born in a barn so that we could have a relationship with God and that peace would be available to us. Not only through the Spirit of God and through the Son of God, but also the Word of God. The Scriptures addressed peace over 400 times. For some of us, we don't spend enough time here. We read all kinds of things. Some of us don't read anything. But I would tell you, all of us will benefit from reading this book. If you can spend 5 minutes a day, spend five. If you can spend 50, spend 50. If you can spend 15, spend 15. But over 400 times in this book, it talks about peace and how we have peace. Not only does peace come through the Spirit of God and the Son of God, but also through the Word of God. Sometimes to know God loves us is just what we need to hear. Sometimes to know that God has a plan for us is just what we need to hear. Sometimes to know that God has the strength to provide or the strength to endure with us as we go through those storms is just what we need to hear, and it comes strictly through the Scriptures. I want you to know this. There's a difference between being peaceful because of trust versus being relaxed because of control. Some of us sit here this morning and say, hey, I'm pretty peaceful. Well, yeah, you are, because anything that can go wrong, you got enough money to fix it to a large extent. Some of us are pretty peaceful because we've worked at the place we've worked at long enough that we're pretty secure. You see, peace isn't always a sign of trust in the Lord. Sometimes peace is control of ourselves, and we think we got it under control, so we're pretty peaceful at how we live life. Some of you have lived long enough to know this. You can think you got things pretty well under control, and they can go south all at once. When I said a while ago, sometimes that one phone call that you don't get, sometimes that one phone call you do get. It's amazing how it can turn your whole world upside down when you really thought you were pretty well in control, but you weren't in control. You didn't have peace because of trust. You had peace because of control. And some of us fight for control all day, every day. We want to be in control all the time. But the more control you have, the less trust you have. The more control you need, the more control you desire, the less trust you have in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. The last one this morning is the power of peace, and we know it in each of our lives. Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. When we look at these verses, there's three words that always jump off the page to us. It's worry, and it's prayer, and it's thanksgiving. But really the key to this is not worry and prayer and thanksgiving, although certainly you know what I think of prayer and how significant it is in each of our lives. But really it's the three things in these verses that sometimes we miss. The anything, the everything, those are key. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. It's when we can do those things that we have peace in our lives. For some of us, we don't ever pray until peace doesn't exist. Can I tell you this? It's great that when peace is absent in your life that you can go to the Lord in prayer. But I would also tell you this, it's great that when you have peace that you continue to pray in those times. Don't wait for disaster to strike to pray. Pray constantly. Always be praying. Always be giving thanks. When we think about hope and love and joy, I've got something I want you to see real fast. We've talked over the last 3 weeks about these three different aspects of hope and love and joy. It's interesting if you put those together. What's our first one that we put together? If you put hope and joy together, I think it makes us optimistic. Think in terms of, hey, if you have hope and yet you're joyful, it just gives optimism. It makes us look forward to things in a positive way. That's hope and joy. If you put hope and love together, I think it gives us confidence. Here's what I hope, but I know you love me, and so it makes me confident to be faithful to who God wants me to be and to do what God wants me to do. If we put love and joy together, I think it makes us cheerful. I think we become happy, cheerful kind of people when we mix those together. So when you see all of them together, hope and love give us confidence, and hope and joy give us optimism, and joy and love make us cheerful. But you see where they blend together. But right in the middle, where all of those blend together, if you have hope and joy, you just get optimism. If you have love and joy, you just get cheerful. And if you have love and hope, you just get confident. But if you have hope and love and joy where they all meet in the middle, I think we get peace. The kicker is you have to have all three of those to get number four. But when you figure out the hope and the love and the joy, peace just naturally comes along. Look at this next slide right here, I think is interesting. When you get to see all of those, and really the place where we want to live is right in the middle. And John chapter 14, verse 27 says, my peace I give to you. You see, when you get hope right, and you get love right, and you get joy right, God just gives us peace. And most of us, what we seek after is peace. And we forget that the way you get peace is by being a person of hope and a person of joy and a person of love. So my question to you this morning is, if you don't feel like you got peace in your life, what's missing? I would tell you, I think it's either hope or love or joy, because I think when you get all three of them, peace just happens naturally. God gives it to us. Remember the statement I made to you earlier. It's the one I'd like to leave you with this morning. Peace is not the absence of stress. It's the presence of the Savior. Peace is not the absence of stress. We are trying to smooth things out all the time in life. It's not about smoothing it out. It's about trusting the Savior through the bumps. Because no matter how big the bump is, if you know God's in control, and you know He loves you, and you know He has a plan for you, no matter how big the bump is, you can have peace. And that's what people need to see in our lives, because our world is stressed and full of turmoil. Be a person of hope. Be a person of love. Be a person of joy. And you will be a person of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons and daughters of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the fact that You give us peace in our lives. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to be people of hope and people of joy and people of love, because they are all significant. But dear Lord, they are all vital if we're going to be people of peace. Lord, we know as Christ followers, our number one goal is to be a reflection of You, to know You better and to be a greater reflection of You. And dear Lord, the Scriptures describe You as the Prince of Peace. I pray that You'd help us to be people of peace, following the Prince of Peace. Lord, for those this morning that have turmoil and strife and stress and frustration and worry and concern in their life, I pray this morning that they would come and trust You with it, that they would ask for You to put peace in their life. Lord, You said we have not because we ask not. I pray this morning that You'd help us to be faithful and trust, and that You would be faithful to answer our prayers. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.